This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And then, after contacting Prester John to destroy Mecca, he wants to destroy Mecca, this criminal. No, this is Mecca. You cannot destroy it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَأَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِ يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his noble family, righteous companions and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah. No knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope you are all doing excellent on this fine night. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we got to the part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about His house. Just after the verse where Allah told us about how He tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. The whole verse about testing Ibrahim alayhi salam, and it ended with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَعْدَ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. And we discussed that in detail in the last tafsir class, mentioning most importantly that the عهد of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not include and cannot be with the ظالمين. And ultimately, I find one of the best ways to conclude that ayah is the other ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So those who are most deserving of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Again, a response to the fact that the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with Ibrahim alayhi salam. And when he asked that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make imams from his descendants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response was, لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. In this ayah, those who are most deserving, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ, those who are most deserving of Ibrahim, most worthy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, are those who follow him. And this Prophet, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who are the believers, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are the ones who are worthy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Not everyone else that claims some kind of a connection to Ibrahim alayhi salam just because they are his descendants. That's not what it's about. We are descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's not what it's about. It's about following. It's about obedience. It's about respecting the covenant, not violating it. And we discussed this in quite some detail last time. In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us,
وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَّقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلًّى وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ أَن طَهِّرَ بَيْتِي لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ.
الله سبحانه وتعالى tells us, and remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when we made a reference to Allah, when we made the house, مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. مَثَابَةً وَأَمْنًا. We will talk about these.
Al-Bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now talking about the house. Which house is this? Is it any house other than the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there any place that we can call the house? Al-Bayt. The house, meaning the most important house. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is none other than Al-Ka'ba and Al-Masjid Al-Haram. So he called it Al-Bayt. He didn't need to call it Baytullah. He said Al-Bayt. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا Al-Bayt, the house. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. مَثَابَة. Arabic speakers, raise your hand. People are looking behind them. Arabic speakers, مَثَابَة. ثَابَ يَثُوبُ. Yes? The meaning of ثَابَ يَثُوبُ? Yes, brother?
جَزَاء.
جَزَاء. That is ثَوَاب. Yes? ثَابَ يَثُوبُ. To return. So here, and remember when we made the house a place of return, مَثَابَ لِلنَّاسِ. A place of return for the people. And then you look at the tafsir of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. What did they say about this? Ibn Abbas and Mujahid and others said that this is a place of return for the people, meaning that they go to it and then they return to their families and then they want to come back again. And they do not get satisfied of it. So no matter how much time they spend, they are not satisfied. They want to spend more. So they go, and they would like to go again. Subhanak ya Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such. Allah gave it this characteristic. And what other place can we say this about? Can we say this about some destinations of tourism today? Not like that. مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ. Keep going back and forth. Back. You go to a place, you've seen it. خلاص, I went there, I've seen it. But Al-Ka'ba, Al-Bayt Al-Haram, they want to keep going back. Even though technically, is Mecca a place of tourism? Are there these great, amazing places where you can go and great scenery and stuff? Ibrahim alayhi salam said it. Wadin ghayri di zara. It's a valley without vegetation. Subhanak ya Rabb, it is Mecca. This is Mecca. This is the best place on earth. The most beloved place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet people, so someone might wonder, why do these Muslims keep going back and forth between Mecca? Allah made it that way. Allah made the love of Mecca in their hearts. And we may also quote the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because he made that dua when he placed Hajar, right? And Ismail there by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was worried about them and there was no one at the time. It's an empty place, there's nothing there. To the extent that she called on Ibrahim alayhi salam, where are you going? Where are you leaving us? And then she understood and she said, did Allah command you to place us here? He said, yes. He said, then Allah will not forsake us. Allah will take care of us, subhanallah. So he did that and then he made the dua. Oh Allah, make the hearts of people be attracted towards them. And grant the people of this place of the thamarat. So he made that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the dua. And he made it a place of return and a place where subhanallah people never seem to completely be satisfied and they keep wanting to go back. And there are people who continue to try to go even though it is difficult for them. Even though it may be costly, but you find people just trying to collect money from here and there
just to try to go and do Umrah or maybe a Hajj after another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to visit it over and over. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنَا. What is amn? Security, safety and security. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it that security, gave it that safety. We may say, for the purpose of people to keep going and visiting His house, because it is His house, so it must be safe and it must be secure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it that characteristic as well. Safety and security. مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنَا. It's a safe place where people can go and feel safe and feel secure, as they should. And we see this. And that's why some of the Mufassireen commented on this. At a time where people did not enjoy safety and did not enjoy security. So one of them said that they would look around them and see all of the other places. People are just being picked up, killed here, left and right. There was no safety or security. Just like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ. Have they not seen that we have made it as a safe sanctuary? And people are just being picked up, taken here and there. There wasn't that safety. But Mecca was safe. The Haram was safe for the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. عبد الرحمن ibn Zayd ibn Aslam interestingly says, a person may see the murder of his father or his brother at the Kaaba, and he cannot do anything. And he will not do anything. And this is in al-Jahiliyyah, brothers and sisters. This is not now, where everyone is afraid of the laws. Nowadays it's the laws that keep people in check, right? It's not that we have progressed after thousands and thousands of years and now we are so civil. No, we see it. Once there's a blackout, no electricity, no laws, no fear of punishment or police, then you see what people are really like. You see the looting and the stealing and the theft and the sabotage. Then, this is Jahiliyyah. And yet, he is right there in front of the Kaaba. His father's murderer. He will not touch him. Because they understood, this is a place that is haram. Haram meaning, it is inviolate. You cannot violate it. It's a safe sanctuary. Subhanallah, if the pagans respected this, even before the Muslims, this is the way it was known. This is Mecca. حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. And this is how Imam Mujahid understood amna, that Allah made it haram, made it a safe place no matter what. Can he then take revenge from the murderer of his father or brother? Outside the place which has been made a haram, yes, but not inside. Now, we have a very important question that we need to deal with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He made it a place of return and He made it a place of safety and security. So how might we understand then, if there were times in history where there might not have been complete safety or security in Mecca or the Haram? Some may look at me and think, did that really happen? There were some times. Okay? How do we understand it? This is very much related, and this is part of the response as well, to the question of, is this a stated fact? Is Allah stating a fact? Or is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elucidating a piece of legislation, a hukum? Is it a fact? Is Allah saying that Allah made it safe and therefore it will never be unsafe? Or is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that you should make it safe? That it is up to you, it's a command to make the house a place of safety and security. And who are the ones who are going to implement that command? The people. Yes? Those who may have seen times in history where there wasn't, or there was some kind of a violation of that safety or security, or more importantly, maybe evidence from the Islamic texts themselves that something might happen there. Those imams understood it to be a hukum, meaning legislation, to command, make the bait, make the house a place of safety and security. And if you do not, that is upon you. And Allah commanded them and said that this place is a place of safety. Right? And what does it mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that it be a place of safety? It means that even the vegetation in Mecca, you cannot pluck. It's a safe sanctuary. Much less to violate the animals or human beings. The plants you cannot touch. Okay? It's a command. This is how some of the imams understood it. So that's why, for instance, Al-Imam Al-Jassas, the famous Hanafi jurist, he said this is a hukum. And he based it on an ayah. He said in the other ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not fight them in the Masjid Al-Haram unless they fight you. If they fight you in the Masjid Al-Haram, then you fight them back. So, it's almost like it might happen. And if it does happen, then you are permitted to fight them back. So, he maintained that this is a hukum. It's not a khabar. It's not a fact. It's not a stated fact. Okay? And others may have said, similar opinions. On the other hand, you have some of the scholars, like Al-Imam Ibn Hajar and Al-Minnawi, whose job it was to, or they gave their life and dedicated it to explaining many of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So when they were trying to show that there is no contradiction between this ayah and others that talk about Mecca and the house as a safe sanctuary, and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is authentic, that mentions that the Kaaba will be destroyed at the end of time by none other than, tell me, Bismillah. Yes, will be destroyed at the end of time by? By whom? Someone will destroy it. Who? A man with very skinny legs. What does that have to do with it? That's what the Prophet ﷺ told us in the authentic hadith. يُخَرِّبُ الْكَعْبَ ذُو السُّوَيْقَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْحَبَشَةِ. A man with very skinny legs from Habasha, from Abyssinia. Subhanallah. So when these scholars were responding to this, they said this does not contradict the fact that Allah made it a safe place, because this will be at the end of time. When? That's the end of the dunya. That's it. It's finished. Furthermore, there are no Muslims left. The Prophet ﷺ said the day of judgment will not come until there is no one saying Allah, Allah on the earth. So there's no one to go to the house anyway. The house is blessed by the people visiting it and remembering Allah in it. If there is no one, Allah lets it be destroyed. So their response was, this is at the end of time. If they thought it was a hukum and not a fact, they would have said, what's the problem? There's no contradiction. It might happen because Allah said it as legislation, not as a fact. So some understood it as a fact, and others understood it as legislation or a command. Amr shar'i as opposed to amr qadari, right? Was it, or did it experience some lack of safety in history? We may say so. Even though for most of its history, it was protected by the protection of Allah. And we have, of course, Surah Al-Fil, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Quraysh and reminds of how he destroyed the people of the elephant who were trying to destroy the Kaaba. There is a Lord for this Kaaba who will protect it, and he protected it. And Allah tells the people of Quraysh that he is the one who gave them safety and security. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. He fed them as a result of hunger. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Right? So he gave them that safety and security. And for most of its history, that was the case. But there were some instances where some of the criminals, yes, they desecrated the Kaaba and Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And one of the famous examples is the example of Al-Hajjaj and the time of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. When Abdullah ibn Zubayr was in Mecca and they laid siege to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and finally they started throwing fire at Al-Masjid Al-Haram, or throwing big rocks at it in the attempt to destroy it and to kill Abdullah ibn Zubayr and whoever supported him. So this great crime was committed by Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. This is an example. But this is clearly an exception. It happened many centuries later as well, by the Qaramita. You know, Al-Qaramita in history, again, criminals. And they went after Al-Kaaba as well and destroyed it a few centuries after that. So you have some of these instances in history where something like this may have happened. Okay? So how do we understand it then? Again, if we understand it as a hukum, no issue. If we understand it as a fact, we may say these are exceptions. And the general rule, and for most of its history, it has been protected and safe. Even though, like we just said in the other ayah, at the same time, Quraysh was enjoying this security, people around them were completely unsafe, didn't enjoy any of that safety or security. So that was something special that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Al-Kaaba and Al-Haram. And this is why, subhanallah, yani, very interestingly, you find in Tafsir al-Manar that there is this comment about this being an exception. But at their time, at the time of Muhammad Abdu and Rashid Rida, they said that it was not safe. To the extent that Muhammad Abdu felt that going to Hajj for him at the time was not safe for him. And that it was almost as if he was throwing himself into destruction. يُلْقِي بِنَفْسِهِ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. And Rashid Rida supported that opinion. And he said, and I think the same. And he said that at that time, and this is in the beginning of the 20th century, early 20th century, he said, and at that time, there was dhulm and transgression in Mecca and Al-Masjid Al-Haram to the extent that was never seen, not in Jahiliyyah and not in the period of Islam. Subhanallah. And there were some who were not even allowed to go to the Hajj. And again, they made the dua, oh Allah, let us see this ayah in practice again, where it is completely safe and secure. So there may have been some of those instances. And by the way, in history, many of the non-Muslims were also targeting Al-Kaaba, such as, most famously, who? The Portuguese. In the 16th century, they wanted to destroy Al-Kaaba. So this grand criminal and imbecile, albeit many Muslims are taught that he is a great paragon and champion. The conquistadors, have you learned about the conquistadors, right? And the so-called age of discovery, where the Portuguese and the Spanish went out looking for alternative routes. So you've heard names like Magellan and Vasco da Gama, Alfonso de Albuquerque, you've heard these names. They are talked about as if they are some kind of some paragons of excellence. They were criminals. And one of them is this Alfonso de Albuquerque. So he wrote to the Portuguese king, Dom Manuel. He wrote to him and he said that I intend to exterminate the Rumis. And he means by that the Ottomans, the Turks, the Muslims. They used to use the word Turk and Muslim synonymously because the Ottomans were Muslims and they were the main danger for them. So they considered all Muslims Turks, right? So he says, I intend to exterminate them. And then after contacting Prester John, to destroy Mecca. He wants to destroy Mecca, this criminal. No. This is Mecca. You cannot destroy it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect it. So, there were attempts, and we hear it nowadays. Don't you hear it nowadays as well? The criminals and the enemies of Islam will say, what? Nuke Mecca. What does nuke Mecca mean? Yes? Brothers and sisters, we have to know what they are saying. Yes, brother? Yes. Drop a nuclear bomb on Mecca. Nuke it. Right? This is what these criminals say. The Islamophobes, the people who hate Islam and Muslims and want to destroy Islam and Muslims. No, 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 no. This is Mecca. You will not be able to, God willing. Inshallah, there will not be an exception for them. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنَا وَاتَّخِذُوا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And take the maqam of Ibrahim as a place of prayer. The maqam of Ibrahim, we all know pretty much what the maqam of Ibrahim is, even though there is some difference of opinion between the mufassirin of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. What exactly is the maqam of Ibrahim? Because maqam Ibrahim, meaning the place where Ibrahim went, stood, worshipped. So this is why you will find some of the opinions that maqam Ibrahim is the whole Hajj, or Mina, and Muzdalifah, and Arafah, and all these places, or the whole Masjid al-Haram. But the correct opinion, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam here, is Maqam Ibrahim, based on the authentic hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam al-Tabari insists on this, based on the authentic hadith. Maqam Ibrahim is the place known to all of us as the place where Ibrahim alayhi salam stood when he was building the Kaaba. And some said the rock that he stood on, that was given to him by Ismail and his wife when he was building the Kaaba with his son. This is Maqam Ibrahim. The authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the description of his Hajj, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anh says that the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed it, he performed his tawaf, and after his tawaf, he went to Maqam Ibrahim and he placed it between him and the Kaaba, and he prayed two rak'ah in which he recited قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ and قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And when he did so, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the crux of it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he recited the ayah. He recited this ayah. So he said, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Make the Maqam of Ibrahim as a place of prayer. And this is exactly what he did before he did the two rak'ah. Just like he also recited the ayah, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَى مِن شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ, when he did as-sa'i. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ is taking pride in implementing the commands of Allah in the Quran. So he's reciting it and then performing it. Okay, so this is very clear. This is the Maqam of Ibrahim. Even though the Maqam of Ibrahim did not used to be there. You know this, right? The Maqam of Ibrahim used to be right at the Kaaba. Before it was moved by Bismillah, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. However, take it as a place of prayer, not meaning that you do it all the time. How do we know this? The guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. When did he pray? He would pray those two rak'ahs after the tawaf. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Take it as a place of prayer. And this is of course in honor of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imam Qatada mentioned something interesting. He said, this ummah was commanded to take it as a place of prayer, but they did something none of the nations did before it, which is that they took it also as like a place of barakah and tamassuh, meaning touching it and wiping it, right? So he said, this is not what they were commanded to do. He said, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. So he said, because of this, and because of what it seems is that they were touching it as if they were getting barakah and blessing from it, this is what eroded the maqam. So he said, I was told by some that you could see the location of his fingers and his feet, but that slowly eroded because of people continuously touching it. And you still see people trying to touch it even though they encased it, right? What is the command of Allah? وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Take it as a place of prayer. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَن طَهِّرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَعِ السُّجُودِ. And we have commanded, this is wa'ahidna here, this is a ahd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is his command to Ibrahim and Ismail to what? To purify and tahira bayti, and pure, that you should purify my house for these three categories that we will mention. So they are required to purify the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everyone who follows their sunnah should purify the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does it mean to purify the house of Allah? Tahira bayti. Many understood a metaphorical purification, not an actual one. Meaning, purify my house of shirk, of idolatry, and everything connected with that. So it's a metaphorical purification. But if we understand it as such, then we ask an important question. Were there idols? Was there shirk at the Kaaba before Ibrahim alayhi salam? Al-Imam al-Tabari, who favors this opinion that it is a metaphorical purification, he mentions that it is possible that it goes back all the way to the time of Nuh alayhi salam, because al-Kaaba, al-Bayt, was there, wallahu a'lam, long before Ibrahim alayhi salam. Which might engender other questions that you can ask me after the lesson, because I'm running out of time. But if we say that that is the case, then maybe there were idols going back maybe to the time of Nuh alayhi salam. So they were commanded to purify the house and prepare it for the worshippers. Okay? And the other possibility is that it is an actual purification. Clean it. Clean the place and prepare it and make it ready for the worshippers. And it may be both. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. An tahira bayti. Purify this place in every way for the worshippers that are going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. An tahira bayti lit-ta'ifina wal-'akifina war-ruk'a as-sujud. Who are at-ta'ifin? Bismillah. Okay, and what are they doing, ta'ifin? The brother mentioned it. Ta'ifin, tawaf. Those who are performing the tawaf, one of the great acts of worship is the tawaf around the Kaaba. Tahira bayti lit-ta'ifin. And the tawaf you can do as part of the umrah, and you can do outside as well, right? The tawaf around the Kaaba. Tahira baytiya lit-ta'ifin. This is one group, those who are doing the tawaf. Wal-aakifin. Al-aakifin. Some difference of opinion. Some said al-aakifin are the mu'takifin, the ones who are doing the i'tikaf in al-haram. And you will find some doing such. Possibly in Ramadan, possibly outside of Ramadan. Al-Aakifin. And others said that Al-Aakifin are those who are living nearby the Haram, for the purpose of continually going back and forth. So they are neighboring Al-Haram, but they are not necessarily performing Al-I'tikaf. And this is the opinion of Al-Imam al-Tabari. Not the ones who are performing i'tikaf, but rather the ones who are nearby. And it seems he's basing it on the fact that the al-Ta'ifin and the last category are the categories of those who are performing worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this one therefore is a meaning other than that. Al-Aakifin. Wal-Ruk'a as-Sujud. Al-Ruk'a as-Sujud, those who are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. But he referred to them by one of the very important characteristics of prayer, and that is ruku' and sujood, the bowing and the sujood, showing us the importance of the ruku' and the sujood for the salah. And those scholars who gave the opinion that the ruku' and the sujood in the salah is more important than the qiyam and the qira'ah would use this ayah as evidence. وَالرُّكَّعَ السُّجُودِ. So, purify my house for those who are doing the tawaf, those who are nearby the haram, living nearby the haram, or the other opinion, who are doing i'tikaf, and those who are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. Purify my house for those people. This is what the house is for, my dear brothers and sisters, for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned before. Subhanallah. وَالرُّكَّعَ السُّجُودِ. I was meant to finish the next ayah by the time you gave me that sign, brother. Allah al-musta'an. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. Anything, my brothers and sisters?
Sheikh.
Yes, brother.
40 years ago, 50 years ago,
a
group of soldiers took over.
Yes, yes, of course. This is another example. Well, I don't know about soldiers. Jahiman, the incident of Jahiman, yeah. Apparently, someone who was mentally ill, thought he was al-Mahdi, went in and, yeah, killed a lot of people and laid siege to the haram. Yeah, another example of possibly the exceptions to the rule, to the safety and security of al-haram. Very dangerous, subhanAllah, very dangerous. And maybe more evidence possibly to those who might say, and this is how some people grappling with the idea of Allah made it a place of safety and security, then how was, you know, someone like Jahiman able to, you know, do something like this, commit such a crime? They said, no, this is a hukum, this is not really a stated fact, wallahu a'lam. And some people claim that there is lack of safety and security today as well in al-haram, okay? Citing some incidents that happened in al-haram, people being picked up, people being arrested, you know, for doing something as simple as, you know, making collective dua, you know, for their brothers and sisters in Gaza. Some of this is being cited as well today. Yani, unfortunately, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always make it a place of safety and security for all. Wallahu a'lam. Yes, brother? Al-Furs? What about them? Well, possibly, yes, exactly. They try to do things all the time, actually, in the Hajj, right? They try to make some mischief in Al-Masjid al-Haram or around Al-Kaaba. And of course, we know that their most extreme elements of the Rafida, of the Shia, would like to take over Al-Haram. And their dream is to have flags of Ya Hussein over Al-Kaaba. We know this. We know this is what they're after. Yani, God forbid, may Allah protect it and protect us. And by the way, this started in history as well. This started in history. Al-Qaramita is different, no? Back to the early 15th century, this same criminal, Afonso de Albuquerque, he wrote to the Safavids, al-Safawiyyah. Al-Safawiyyah, Ismail al-Safawi, when did he take over the area of Iran? In the 1500s. This is when Iran started becoming Shi'i. It was never the case. It has always been Sunni. And some of the great scholars came from that area as well. Okay? More on that later. But the Safawiyyah, the Safavids at the time, were cooperating with these criminals. So Afonso de Albuquerque wrote to the Safavids, and he said, if you so wish, I will send you fleets and soldiers so that we can destroy Mecca together. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. May Allah protect it always. Yes, brother. Okay. Yes. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Exactly. So therefore, purify it. So just like Ibrahim ﷺ purified it, you are to purify it. Absolutely. And this is possibly why also many took that opinion, that it's a metaphorical purification, even though many understood a literal purification as well, and cleaning. And that is very important as well. And please, my brothers and sisters, take it as a literal purification and keep the place clean when you go there. This is the house of Allah. But absolutely, look at the state of it at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But this is what? This is before him, right? This is before him. And he was not able to purify it until he took over Mecca, because they were oppressed and persecuted. It's only after he went back into Mecca in the 8th year Hijri, the Fath of Mecca, right? It's only after that he was able to break the idols and purify that place again. Yeah. Allahu A'lam. I really thought we were going to finish the next ayah, subhanAllah. And there are connections. We'll see them, inshaAllah, next time. Wallahu a'lam. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakallahu khayran. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.